Welcome to Healing House with Dr. Eileen. Dr. Eileen is an international healer, speaker, teacher, and published author of her latest book, Frequencies. Share the next half hour with us as we journey to find balance of body, mind, and spirit in an unbalanced world. We then invite you to call in or log into our chat and share your thoughts and insights. And now your host, Dr. Eileen.
Well, happy Thursday, everyone. This is Dr. Eileen with Healing House Radio. And as always, for those of you who are in the LA area, the guest calling number is 424-258-9337. And everyone else, including those right here in the absolutely beautiful San Francisco Bay Area, the toll-free calling number is 877-697-9725. As usual, also, Producer Kina will be opening up the chat room. So if you want to log in there and post any questions or comments, then she will make sure they get to me. And she will also be there to assist when I log into the chat room after the show. So if for some reason, because for some reason technology doesn't always work quite right, if I'm not immediately in the chat room after the show, hang around if you have a comment or question, and I will get to it. For some reason, my computer seems to have an issue with it. So, issues. That's an interesting lead-in into today's episode, which I'm calling One at a Time. And one of the primary constants of life is that our perspectives on what we experience can be significantly affected by what we experienced before, especially if it's a similar type of experience. In the same way that a new injury will be affected when it takes place in the same location or in the same manner as an old one, emotional pain is intensified if it's a repeat of a prior painful experience that is in some way related to it. And one of the biggest challenges is not to add that old energy to a new issue. So today we're going to be looking at working on keeping the conflict in the present tense and not in the past by recognizing what the current injury, quote, injury is, properly defining what the reality of this experience is and separating it from old stories. Because it's that attachment to the old stories that can add fuel to the fire. And when we're talking about that, what I'm mostly focusing on is places of conflict and emotional hurt. Now, if somebody is mistreated by someone, if they feel that they've been either disrespected or abandoned, abandonment is a very huge issue. What can happen is that one action by one person gets added to it, all of the old experiences around that. It's like, well, this person abandoned me, and my last several relationships abandoned me, and my family members abandoned me. And so all of that energy gets added to what the present situation is. Then phrases like, well, I always get treated like this, or they never treat me well, or nobody has ever, been there for me, or everybody leaves me eventually. When you start going into these all-encompassing phrases, that's one of the signs that old energy is being added to a new issue. An old wound is being added to a new one as if to somehow justify it, to justify resentment, to justify, our own righteous indignation. And it is a part of human nature. It is one of the ways that we have an opportunity to kind of gauge ourselves when we take a look at what we're feeling. And when we feel like someone has mistreated us, automatically we're going to look at all the reasons why that mistreatment is a pattern, because we want to explain it. we really like as human beings, it really helps when we can have stuff explained. If there's no reason for it, then that means that the hurt, you know, it could happen again because there's no pattern. There's no cause and effect. So when we look at the pain of the moment, the injury, let's just take disrespect. If you feel you've been disrespected by someone, and let's say you can think of four or five other times in your life that you were disrespected, then that becomes the pattern. That becomes the, oh, they disrespected me because these other people disrespected me, and why do people disrespect me? Maybe I don't deserve respect. And that goes into the self-criticism place. If you feel that you are mistreated routinely by a lot of different people, yes, that is actually a pattern that you might want to look at. What is the perception you have? What are the common points? And to be able to tap into those old experiences as a way to break it down, as a way to deconstruct the moment and go, what is it that I am looking at that I need to look at differently? What is the perception I have? Maybe those actions aren't actually disrespect. Maybe you're just perceiving it that way. Or maybe there's something that's going on that, well, if a whole bunch of people are telling me the exact same thing about myself, is that something I need to look at? So there's light and shadow in everything. And I've said it many times before, and I would say it many times again, that even the things that are profoundly, you know, wonderful, like love and friendship and all of those things, have that shadow side. And no matter, you know, anger and fear, all of those have a light aspect too. So when we talk about disrespect, often it goes into that place of fear that, wow, maybe I for some reason, I don't deserve respect. What am I feeling about myself that I open myself up to this? So let's say a situation comes up and someone treats you with disrespect, or at least they're inconsiderate of your feelings. Looking at that as what did that person do, and being very clear on exactly what that person did without adding, and my cousin did that, and my ex-boyfriend did that, and you know, this friend did that, and all of those, you know, without you know, doing the roll call of all the people that ever disrespected you. Isolating the one event. What was it about this one event that caused me pain? And when you can analyze it from that perspective, without bringing in the attempt to validate it by prior experiences and creating that concept of nobody ever is there for me, I feel alone, I don't get the respect I deserve. Break it down before it gets into that place of calling in the troops that are just going to validate, no, you don't get respect, you're never going to get respect. See, you trusted somebody else and they betrayed you. There you go, that's what you get for trusting. Because we also have, you know, I've talked often about the counsel that I believe is up there in my mind, and my fear is there and my anger is there. Everybody gets one vote. I say the president, but everybody gets a vote. Everybody gets to say what they have to say. And one of those aspects is that self-criticism. Well, see, there you go again. You trusted, and you were wrong to trust because people are essentially untrustworthy, and you got hurt. I told you not to do it because fear is always voting. I told you not to do it. I told you not to trust. And when we think about, all right, so those are just two votes. What do the other aspects of myself say? You know, it's like, okay, love. You know, what do you have to say on this? Probably say, well, you know what? There is a price to loving. There is a price to opening up. But that doesn't mean that it's all bad. That just means that sometimes people say and do hurtful things. It doesn't have to have anything to do with us. we just got caught up in somebody else's hard story. And, you know, we'll think good thoughts for them and let them go. Or talk to them and say, hey, this was really hurtful and we need to talk about this. So as you look at narrowing down what it is that is related to the situation you have right there, as opposed to using it as just another argument for cutting yourself off or for, you know, believing that everybody is going to disrespect or hurt you. Everybody is pretty much, you know, whenever any statement starts with everybody, you know it's not going to be true. It is important to be able to separate that because not everybody is against you. Not everybody disrespects. And if we can think for a few moments, it's like, okay, let me think of the people in my life who I'm the closest to. Have I had conflicts with them? Yeah. Have we had arguments? Have I both hurt and been hurt by statements that were made? Yeah. And do I consider that relationship worth saying, okay, let's take a time out. We need to talk this out. If the answer to that question is no, if this is not a significant person in your life, then, you know, maybe it is best to go, oh, all right, our contract is complete. And we don't need to take this any further. I don't deserve this, you, and I will not accept it. And you just, everybody picks up their marbles and goes home. Or you say, you know what, we need to talk. And maybe if after the discussion, it still needs to go into that place of, you know what, I think we're done. Then allow that to happen in the gentlest way possible. But understand, it's just something that one person did. They didn't do all the stuff that's ever been done to you. And it really isn't fair to hold them responsible for that. And that can be tricky. It's sort of like if you've made soup, and then you decide, oh, well, I don't want this one ingredient in there. And then you're trying to take it out after the soup has been mixed. Now, if it's something like great big chunks of potato, okay, that could be easy to scoop out. But if it's like salt, no, that's not going to happen quite so easily. Then you just have to figure out, okay, I can't take the salt out of it, but maybe I can do something with the recipe that will allow the salt not to be noticed so much. Or to say, you know what, maybe I need to just get rid of this pot, and then I can start all over again and put in the ingredients that I want. So in some ways, it's kind of like that. By being able to identify what is it that are the common themes, what is it that makes it hurt the most for you? Because it could be that, you know, different things trigger you more. If it's the fact that the disrespect goes with abandonment. And, you know, abandonment is a very difficult issue for a lot of folks. So identifying, I don't like to be abandoned. I don't like to feel that way. And it is hurtful to me when someone treats me in that way as if I don't matter. Because, see, there's that piece of disrespect which goes to, well, I'm treated like I don't matter, and that is a form of abandonment, that you're not treated like you're a person. You're treated like, you know, well, that's okay. We don't have to worry about you. So that is a form of abandonment. And when you look at what is it about that abandonment that hurts you, and you can say, well, because I've been abandoned before and it bothered me. But why did it bother you? And that may seem like a really bizarre question, because obviously abandonment, you know, you don't have to think about that it's a bad thing. And it's important to actually break that down. Sometimes it's important to say it out loud. Because there's lots of times when we like to be alone, when we would wish that everybody would just kind of forget our phone number for about 24 hours. And when it's not your choice, or when you're in a space where you really need somebody there for you and you don't feel like they're there, or maybe you've been there for someone a lot and then, you know, when you really need them, they're not there. Those are all pieces of feeling abandoned and feeling disrespected. You know, if somebody cuts you off when you're driving, you know, that's, it feels like disrespect. Hey, I'm driving here. I'm in this vehicle, and you don't even look to see. Well, we don't know why they didn't look. And in all honesty, I really don't think there's any one of us who can honestly say they never changed a lane without looking as thoroughly as they could have. I know I can't. And when, you know, I hear that honk, and I go, oh, wow, okay, I was not attentive, first off. Thank you, universe and creator, for not having me be in an accident. I feel embarrassed. I feel, you know, you do that thing where, you know, when they pass you, you don't want to look in that direction because you don't want to make eye contact because you can feel them giving you the stink eye. So the idea that we all inflict discomfort, and even though maybe we don't feel like it, at some point we all disrespect someone. We all abandon someone because it's human nature, because we all are divine beings having a human experience, and a part of that human experience is both light and shadow. We may not believe that we are being disrespectful. We may not believe that we're abandoning. It is totally the perception of the person experiencing it. That's why when something happens and it's a part of a pattern that we feel is an important pattern in our lives, like being abandoned, like being disrespected, we set in our minds what that feels like, what that means, what the definition of that is. But the definition that we have is not necessarily the definition that the person who is, you know, the perpetrator, for lack of a better term, or the other member of the scenario. If they don't view what they did as disrespectful, your chances are very slim for getting an apology. If an apology is really important, it may mean having a discussion as to why it was hurtful to you. And sometimes that can be a very difficult discussion because in their mind, they're saying, I don't know why you're making such a big deal of this. Or the, that is not what I said. Or that is not what I meant. So when a person is trying to communicate, hey, your actions were this, it affected me in this way, I didn't like it, it was disrespectful, and I want an apology. They may say, wow, I had no idea that it affected you that way. Sorry. And if you hear that and, you know, you've got a lot of emotion invested in something, it's like, well, that's not good enough. It's like, well, but you wanted me to say sorry, so sorry. Again, we have two different conversations going on. It is not about the words that are said, but the energy that comes behind it. And if the energy that comes behind it as you're sitting there watching somebody go, oh, well, I didn't think that it would bother you. Sorry. The conversation and the energy that can be going on in the person's mind is, you're really not sorry. You don't get why I was upset. You're not acknowledging it to the degree that I want it acknowledged. And that can end up leading to an even worse situation of distance between the two people. Because then the other person feels that they need to justify it or that they honestly do not believe that they said anything or did anything disrespectful. So everybody's clear on what everybody means. that the definitions are clear and agreed on, that everybody understands that, okay, this is what I'm feeling based on these actions. And how can we find resolution with this? How can we find balance with this? How can we get balance back in our relationship? And a big part of that is not going into what everybody else did, because that never adds anything good. Because all it does is the other person feels like they're being blamed for stuff that they had nothing to do with, which in some ways that's true. Yep, you're just like everybody else who has ever treated me this way. And the person is like, hey, I'm not everybody else. We had something that was a problem between us, and that should be it. I don't need to pay for what other people have done, which is also very true. So before you go into a conversation like that, it would probably be a really good idea to take some time to really focus on what that person did. Not what it means to you, but start off with just what the, you know, like in Dragnet, just the facts, ma'am, and looking at the facts of what it is. It doesn't mean that you can't bring in emotion, but take a look at what the literal, you know, sequence of events were led to the conflict. And it's not that everybody does it to you, or if they do, that's something else to study. That person didn't do it. And if you feel that this person always does that, and that is what you express, that's what you honestly feel, then maybe that isn't the right relationship for you. Maybe it is something that contract is closed. All you have to do is learn that you don't want that type of relationship in your life. And even in that case, it's still important to stick with what the conflict was between the two of you. Not what other people have done, not the pain that came in before, not the childhood issues. They're all there. They just should not get a vote into this particular situation, because that makes it that much harder to be able to find that balance point to continue the relationship and say, okay, well, we all had a bad moment and things were said. And, you know, when somebody really recognizes, wow, I may not feel that it warrants this type of reaction from you, but obviously you were upset. It was never my intention to hurt you. And I am honestly, truly sorry that I did. See, that takes it into a whole different place. That takes it into a place of, wow, my feelings have been acknowledged. And this person has made it very clear that they understand, and that the apology really feels authentic and genuine. Now, if the problem keeps repeating and keeps repeating, like I said, that means there's a deeper evaluation of what's going on that needs to happen. And if it's just one of those, we all have a bad day, we all say something we shouldn't have, maybe we tell a joke that wasn't the right joke to tell, or make a comment, it doesn't mean that we are every person that ever did that. It just means that we made a poor choice in that moment. And to really hear what somebody has to say about how that action made them feel. And yes, it's perfectly legitimate if they start, and everybody does it. It's like, you know what? I'm not everybody. Let's stick with this. There are so many ways that just making a few agreements up front in a discussion like this can really lead it into a place both individuals get to win. It's not about winning or losing. It's not the one who apologizes is the one who loses, and the one who receives the apology, the first one to receive an apology wins. Everybody's got something that they did. Everybody contributed to a situation in some way. even if it was by, you know what, I didn't say anything the last couple of times you made that comment, but now I'm saying something because it's always irritated me. It's like, okay, you blew off your chance to comment about the past times that they've done it because you didn't tell them about it. If you didn't tell them about it, they have no way of being able to control that. And whether you're the person who in that particular scenario was the one who was hurtful or whether you're the one who was hurt, it's still important to know exactly what it is that is at the heart of the hurt. What is it that made the comment, the action, so painful? And to really have an agreement to sit down and each person gets to say how it affected them without having to say, well, but, during the conversation. It's important that they be able to say what they need to say and to have the other person really hear them and really listen. Not from, you know, well, this is crap and you're just too sensitive, but to really hear what they're saying. Because sometimes it can just be diffused by someone being heard. By when you look in someone's eyes and you're talking to them and you're saying, you know, what you feel, and they're locked on you, they're focused on you, they're paying attention, and they're really hearing what you have to say. So, you know, does this necessarily have to break a relationship? Absolutely not. Conflict can really enrich a relationship because what it can do, give a chance to each person to be able to be authentic and to say how they feel. And yeah, maybe they're hurt. Maybe they cry. Maybe they're upset. Maybe they yell. You know, if you guys agree, it's like, okay, well, if you just need to vent and get it out of your system, go ahead. And then you just sit there and go, all right, are you done? Is everything out? Is there anything else you feel you want to say about this particular thing? And that's the other thing. Only pick one thing at a time to work on. If you get a whole bunch of different topics, it really can build up. But by making the agreement, okay, this event happened, it affected me this way, and I need to talk about it with you. We're not going to talk about other stuff. We're not going to say always or never. We're just going to say, this is what happened. This is how it affected me. And I need you to know that. And how can we move past this? If both people are willing to do that, then the entire process can lead to a deeper sense of closeness because you can both be real with each other because there's always that opportunity that we're going to be hurtful. And there's always the opportunity to be hurt. Does that mean that we don't give ourselves that openness, that, you know, that we don't open ourselves to people and love and trust? Well, that's a way, not the way I choose. I've been hurt a lot of times in my life, and not one, no matter how deep, has ever made me want to give up on being able to love and to trust. So, and communicate and share and allow those to all be doorways to be able to get a deeper, more profound relationship because it is worth it. And things are pretty easy to resolve if you can do it one at a time. So I thank you for joining me. I thank you for sharing another Thursday with me. We'll be back next week. I will be checking into the chat room after the show. So until next time, I wish you balance, I wish you blessings, I wish you communication and authentic feelings. And I hope that each and every one of you are able to say what you feel. This is Dr. Eileen with Healing House Radio. Take care.